We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Enjoy a tall, cool dude.
What is this? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing? Look, our lives. What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
It's the Nightcap.
Are we going to be sitting here when we're 60 like two idiots?
We should be having dinner with our sons when we're 60.
We're pathetic, you know that?
Yeah, like I don't know that I'm pathetic.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more to life?
Yes!
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something.
There isn't.
You know, Twitter is such a strange thing, isn't it? It can be so good at times. There are so many useful tools for it. Like, I will be honest with you. When I write my sports updates in the afternoon, a lot of the news I am pulling from Twitter. That's where I'm finding it. I use it almost as a search engine as much as anything else. That's where you find news first, right? Like, actually, even just now. Just scrolling through. And, oh, there's wide receiver for the 49ers, Deebo Samuel. He's going to be on a pitch count on Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. I wouldn't have known that had I not been, you know, paying attention to my Twitter timeline. That actually happened 2 hours ago. Just made it to my timeline now. Don't know what happened there. But, look, here we go right here. James Palmer from NFL.com just reports 1 minute ago that Drew Lock is legitimately 50-50 to play next Sunday against the New England Patriots. They're going to see how it progresses during the week and evaluate where he's at as the days go by. By the way, sticking with that for 1 second, that's good. Are we paying attention now to the Patriots a little bit more? Because I see that, and the first thought that pops into my head is, oh, perfect, because I need Drew Lock to play against New England because we're in a division race, baby. We need to win that one. We need some help on that one. Maybe the Bills don't need help, but we could use it. Let's knock New England out, get a couple of game advantage on them, and Drew Lock helps that out. And that tweet comes across, you know, part of me wants to just unplug from Twitter all the time. And part of me knows the use of it and enjoys it, and it's a balance. You got to be able to, you know, ignore the bad and enjoy the good. But sometimes it's insufferable. Some of the victory laps that are being taken right now with Bills fans and Josh Allen. Because it makes it so hard to be optimistic about what he is when, to me, it just looks like, and this is probably not, does not represent the fan base. Twitter does not represent the entirety of the Bills fan base. I am aware of that. But when it seems like there are so many people on social media loud enough about, oh, this guy's already elite. This guy's an MVP candidate. Like, this is it. We got our guy. It's over. And anybody that even considered for one moment that that wasn't going to happen, you're wrong and you should apologize. And we're going to dunk on you until you can. That's the kind of stuff that makes it hard for me to want to root for a guy like that. Now, then the game gets turned on and you go through the week and you really understand what Josh Allen is as a leader, as a teammate, as a quarterback. How much he loves playing football, and then how he plays on the field. He's the most fun quarterback, really, to watch in the league from an entertainment standpoint. He probably is right up there with Mahomes and Jackson. Maybe even more than Jackson. because he is a little bit more wild at times. He's not, you know, running the football 30 times a game like the Ravens are. He is amazing at, in terms of entertainment value. But there just doesn't seem to be any middle ground. And I want to live in the middle. I want to live in the middle on Josh Allen. Because I've been trying to do it the whole time. Because I personally, and many people, I'm not just speaking for me. For anyone that's been in the middle on Josh Allen. It just seems like everyone on one side was so loud and everybody on the other side was so loud and they were all yelling at each other. And it's like, I'm just going to hang out here and this is fun, right? Because all there is just yelling back and forth. And I want that to end. And maybe that ends with a contract. So maybe we're getting there. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase here on WGR. I just had to get that out of my system. And the apology form, that was sticking in my craw a little bit earlier in the week. The apology form? What? First of all, it's through three games. And there's nothing at this point that makes me think that Allen has not made the step that we've all been looking for and that they're going to sign him and we've got our quarterback for the future. There's nothing right now concrete that I can point to say that's not going to happen. But an apology form? Really? How many NFL quarterbacks come through the NFL that are drafted in the first round? How many? And how many are successful in the first place? The success rate on first round quarterbacks is already not that high. Is it even 50-50? Is it even 50-50? And if you really go all the way back, and this is part of Josh Allen's story, I know, and it's part of what makes him so easy to root for, but it's also, I think it's easy, for me it's easy at least, to understand why there were so much negative feedback about that draft pick. You can't argue with, he was not a good college quarterback. He wasn't. He just wasn't. And he works incredibly hard, and he is as good a leader as you're going to find on the field, but we all know that none of that matters unless you hit the passes. And he is, in a way, an anomaly. But the Bills saw an opportunity in him to be that. And that is really why they should get as much credit as Josh Allen should for where he's arrived as a player. So, like a lot of these, the parody of a prospect line is really the one that came from Football Outsiders a couple of years ago that gets most of the love on social media when this whole apology ring's going around these past couple of weeks. And was that strong? Of course. Of course it was. But, okay, it's parody of a prospect. Right. You shouldn't have said that. But he was not a good prospect. He wasn't. And just because it's worked and the Bills have made it work doesn't mean it wasn't a high-risk idea. Now, what we are seeing the fruits of is what the upside of that pick was rather than some other quarterback that could have been deemed as a safer pick. Because if the Bills had drafted, and this will lead me into a conversation about Sam Darnold, by the way, which has been talked about a lot on the station today. If the Bills had selected Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, I truly believe that those quarterbacks would be success stories right now because the Bills' setup around them has been so good. It's been so good. Perfect. I went over this last night. The Jets have had the worst possible setup for a young quarterback. The Browns have been pretty darn close to the worst. The Ravens have had really good, but they're still lacking a wide receiver for Lamar Jackson. And the Bills have done it perfect. Absolutely flawless. So I personally think, and this might not be right, but I think Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen would be doing pretty well if they had been this Bills quarterback. But why was he picked seventh? Because we know it wasn't from what he put on film at Wyoming. It was, if you get this guy to work, if you get this guy to throw with accuracy, and you get this guy to limit the turnovers that he had in college, he's going to be an elite quarterback in football. Or at least, he has the potential to be an elite quarterback in football. One of the best. And a unique one in that. One that we don't see come around very often. Especially with the rushing ability. And I always wanted to respect that gunslinger mentality that Brandon Bean had with that pick. Because it was risky. And good on him and good on the Bills for helping and, by the way, committing to Allen to stick with him and to get him to this point. Because this is that high upside, this high ceiling that was talked about when he was drafted. And he's reached it. And that does lead me to Sam Darnold. Because that was an interesting conversation earlier today on the afternoon show of, like, is he just done with the Jets? I spent a lot of time talking about the Jets last night, so I don't want to do it all night. We got a game between the Bills and the Raiders on Sunday that I'm very intrigued by. I'm very intrigued by the Raiders, and I'm very interested about the Bills' defense because they have not really put a dominant performance on the field yet, and you've got yet another opportunity to do that against a depleted offense. So we'll get into that plenty throughout the course of tonight's show. By the way, still looking for your calls, 803-0550. If you're hanging on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. And where was I? Darnold, though. Is he just done? Because what's going to happen with the Jets? They couldn't beat Brett Rippon in the Denver Broncos last night. That is stunning. Because I know the Jets are bad, but that bad? And undisciplined, tons of personal foul penalties, all the gross stuff at the end of the game where the game is over, they're calling timeouts, and then they're taking cheap shots at Brett Rippon, the Broncos quarterback. And you should never, ever get the benefit of the doubt in a situation like that when Greg Williams is your defensive coordinator. Never should you get the benefit of the doubt. So all that's going on. Sam Darnold is on the offensive side of the field. He sprains his shoulder in the first half. He comes back in, plays through it. Didn't look great. I don't think he looked awful, but he didn't look great. It was kind of another Sam Darnold game. Just looked like he didn't have much to work with. He's always under pressure. He's running around. One of those times, he took it to the house on an amazing quarterback run. I mean, I thought Darnold was more mobile than people thought, but he definitely showed quickness there than I didn't think he possessed. And all in all, they lose. They lose big. They lose by 11 to Brett Rippon and the Broncos. They're not going to... Who are they going to beat this year? Really? A lot of times you go through a season, it's like, oh, this team is the worst in the league. Like, the Bills were actually even this 2 years ago. 2018, they were being talked about, and I was right out front, saying I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams we've ever seen. Now, in part with me personally, and this was not with everybody, because this was not consensus, but with me, it was mostly Nathan Peterman. I thought that Nathan Peterman playing quarterback was going to lead this team to be the worst in football. And they weren't. No, they weren't good. But the Bills win 6 games that year. They weren't an embarrassment. They weren't a joke. Last year, everyone thought the Dolphins were tanking. Everybody thought the Dolphins were going to be the worst team in football. One of the worst teams we've ever seen. The 2019 Miami Dolphins. And they weren't not a joke. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets in there, quarterback. They gave the Bills a scare early in the season. They end up winning 5 games. They beat the Patriots at the end of the season in a game New England wanted to win and needed to win. And maybe cost the Patriots their season because it forced them to play a wild card round game against the Titans and they lost. So, that team wasn't a joke. But this year, here come the Jets. And they're that this year's version of that. They're the team everybody thinks is just abysmal. And they can't do anything right. And they're just a laughingstock league-wide. The difference here is, though, and maybe this is in part because Adam Gase is their head coach, as opposed to the Bills who had Sean McDermott and the Dolphins who had Brian Flores. And Adam Gase has this team looking like the embarrassment everybody thinks they are. I don't know who they're beating. And I think they're getting a quarterback at the beginning of the first round next season. It might not be Trevor Lawrence, because there are some other bad teams in the league that might end up getting the first overall pick. But as I've mentioned a couple times before, the Draft Network has three quarterbacks inside their top six for their big board in 2021. If the Jets want a quarterback at the beginning of the first round, which they will be at, they will be picking early, they will get a quarterback. There'll be one there for them. So to me, this is it. I don't think Sam Darnold is the Jets quarterback next season. And what happens to him? What happens to him? Because there is reason to think he could still be good. To me, and like Sal mentioned earlier on the air, that Darnold's ruined. And that they have ruined him. And I think that could be right. I think that definitely could be right. But I would want to take one step back from that. Because I just don't know how you're supposed to evaluate a quarterback and what he could be when that is his surrounding situation. I just don't know how you're supposed to do it. Braxton Berrios and Chris Hogan, like, you're not going to get a good read of how good a quarterback Sam Darnold can be when those are his quarterbacks. Hell, the Bills, who had a very, not very, but they had a competent offense last season. They weren't great. They weren't terrible. They had a competent offense. Josh Allen had guys to throw the football to. John Brown, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox had a pretty good rookie season. Devin Singletary had a pretty good rookie season. Duke Williams had his moments. Like, there were some guys that Allen could work with. Darnold just doesn't even have that. And last year with Allen, we were saying, hey, we can't yet completely, we can't yet completely evaluate if he's a franchise quarterback because he doesn't have that number one wide receiver. I don't want to do that until they have the number one wide receiver. Darnold doesn't have a number one wide receiver. He doesn't have a number two wide receiver. He's got a number three in Jamison Crowder. He doesn't have a good tight end. And I was way off on that one, by the way. I'm so sorry to anybody that I suggested to draft Chris Hogan, Chris Herndon in fantasy this year. Because, woof, that guy can't. He's dropping everything thrown his way. Frank, he doesn't have a running back. It's Frank Gore. Wheel routes in the red zone. What? How are you supposed to evaluate that? Like, come on. But the problem is, and this is what is going to happen with Sam Darnold, he's not going to get another look at this. He's not going to get a real look at this where another franchise commits to him being their guy and commits to his development. It's not going to happen. And that's why the Bills' setup for a young quarterback compared to the Jets is so important. Because now Darnold, he might be shot. And we might never know what would have happened if he had been a Buffalo Bill. Because I truly think if he was a Bill, he'd be a success. Not as much as Allen, but I think he'd be a success. I think we'd be talking about paying him. Coming up. And what's going to happen with him? He's going to be a backup. There are starting caliber quarterbacks, right, in the league that you would think, hey, Andy Dalton, he can get a starting job, can he? He's Andy Dalton. Jameis Winston, guy threw for 5,000 yards. Yeah, he throws a lot of picks, but someone will give him a job, right? Marcus Mariota, like, yeah, he has had a bad couple of seasons here, but he had a good one before that, and he was a second overall pick. Somebody gives him a shot. None of those guys got shots. They're all backups. The middle tier quarterbacks in the league, there's more volume to them than there used to be. There are more of them. There are more Andy Daltons and Jameis Winstons and, you know, Kirk Cousins and Derek Carrs, who the Bills will see on Sunday. There are a lot more of those guys than there used to be. Because I don't really know if there's much of a difference between Derek Carr and Sam Darnold. But you just, I guess, got to get lucky with your spot. Because now Darnold got unlucky, completely unlucky, and he's probably never going to see an opportunity again. Maybe as a fill-in, but I don't know. I thought about the Colts. The Colts have Phillip Rivers on a one-year contract, and they're good. Their roster is good. Rivers, to me, still looks shot. I know that they have won a couple games here, but he still looks shot to me. And what do they do after this year? Because they're not going to be able to pick a guy high in the first round. Maybe they do it in the mid-first round. Or maybe, I don't know, Cam Newton's going to be a free agent again. Maybe the Colts try to outbid the Patriots to get Cam Newton to come there. But then that leaves New England, by the way, without a quarterback. So, at best, like, I couldn't come up with much more than Indianapolis. Jacksonville's going to draft a guy. The Jets probably draft a guy. Who else? Washington probably drafts a guy to me. Assuming Haskins is done there, because it's starting to trend that way. And who else really needs one? Who needs one desperately? I'm sure I'm missing somebody. But you might be left with like two teams, maybe one spot, kind of similar to what happened with Cam Newton this year. Cam Newton got to a point where it was him and the Patriots. That was it. He wanted the start. Cam Newton, by the way. I should have even mentioned him when I was talking about, you know, Andy Dalton and Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. Because if the Patriots had decided to sign Andy Dalton instead of, wait, or if they had drafted, you know, Jordan Love or somebody, Jalen Hurts, then Cam Newton, who's looked amazing at the beginning of this season, he'd be without a job. All that to say, that's the difference. And that's how much room for error there is. Just based on what your setup is for a young quarterback. Josh Allen is in the MVP conversation and is about to get a monster contract if he keeps playing like this. Like, we're talking $35-plus million a year. That's what's ahead for Allen. And Darnold is staring a backup job in the face. And all that could have changed that was the Bills being able to trade up to three before the Jets did. Because if that had happened, I don't want to completely say the script would have been flipped, because I think Allen's athleticism would have kept him from looking as bad as Darnold has. But it could have been. The script could have been flipped for sure. To a lesser extent. 803-0550, the Jets. By the way, I had saw a couple of tweets on this, and I was thinking about it too. I didn't end up tweeting it because I wanted to see if someone else would. I didn't want to just go headfirst in it, but Sam Darnold is the Bills' backup quarterback next year? Would that not be so interesting? It would be interesting in that the guy that got compared to Allen for the first 2 years of their career, and obvious for obvious reasons, you know, same draft class, same division. If he was backing up Josh Allen, the guy the Jets decided to take over your guy is now our backup. I mean, that would have to be a good feeling. And I'm not just saying that, you know, for the joke of it, but, you know, Josh Allen and Sam Darnold are friends, so maybe it would make sense. Who knows? Who knows what happens with Darnold? That last point there is probably very unlikely. But I thought I'd mention it. You know, that'd be interesting. That'd be funny, I think, if that happened. It's like, yeah, Jets, you messed up. Here, we're going to take him now. Good luck with Trevor Lawrence surrounded by the same situation. The Jets are just such a dumpster fire. How is Adam Gase still their head coach? I'm glad Adam Gase is still their head coach. Or are we? Because Gase is going to have that team at 2-14. And that's how they get Trevor Lawrence. So, I don't know. I kind of hope he gets fired. And I made this point last night because I'd like the Jets to go 6-10 to not be in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence. But it doesn't seem like, if you don't fire Adam Gase after losing to Brett Rypien on national television, I don't know when you do it. It's got to wait till after the season, I would think, at this point. 803-0550 is the phone number. All right, going to dive full speed ahead into Bills and Raiders when we come back. I got a point to make on the defense, how they have not really had that dominant performance yet. And part of what I thought a Josh Allen step this year would mean towards being a Super Bowl contender came hand in hand with the defense continuing to be an elite unit. And even though I don't think they've been, you know, a mess or anything so far this year, they've not been an elite unit. So we'll talk about that a little bit and the opportunity for them to show that they still are against the Raiders this weekend, because I think that opportunity is there. So a little Raiders offense versus Bills defense talk when we come back. 803-0550 for your points on the game or anything I just went over with what the Jets have going on right now, Allen and Darnold, the comparison there as it begins to fade away that comparison. We might not have much more time to talk about it because the Darnold era seems to be coming to a close, in, at least in my eyes, in New York. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I think just the process that goes into it is an important piece. You know, we talk, we communicate during the week, and at the end of the day, Leslie calls the defenses, and that's where we go. You know, I'll offer some recommendations from time to time, but
that is Bills head coach Sean McDermott on with Howard and Jeremy this morning. Talking about Leslie Frazier, I do want to talk some about the Bills defense. Just 1 second here. By the way, quick reminder, there is a lot going on in the world today, both locally and nationally. If you are looking for any coverage on President Trump and his positive test for the coronavirus, being flown to a local hospital in Washington, D.C., or tragic death of Steve Barnes in a plane crash in Western New York today. For both of those stories, head over to our sister station, 930 WBEN, 930 AM, that is. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase here on WGR. We are under 48 hours away from the Bills and the Raiders, which... it's a 4:25 kickoff. That's our first non-1 o'clock kickoff of the season. I did mention yesterday on the air about the Titans and like what the timeline could be of, hey, when is that Bills game in jeopardy? Well, today we kind of know, it seems. Teron Davenport from ESPN tweeted this. Adam Schefter from ESPN tweeted this, that if the Titans, who had another positive test today, another positive COVID test today, if they have more positive tests through the weekend, that Bills-Titans game is going to be in jeopardy next Sunday, 9 days away. And as I mentioned, or actually a caller brought up last night on the air with me, that Bills-Chiefs game is the next week. That Thursday Night Football game is following that Titans game. So, like, the league was considering moving Steelers and Titans this week to either Monday or Tuesday of this week. That option does not exist next week unless they decide... like to fit these games in, that we have to move Bills Chiefs off of Thursday night. And, you know, we'd like to keep that game in prime time. But, I mean, if the league's got to do it for safety and health protocols, then the league's got to do it. So keep an eye on that. That's a developing story. Hopefully we'll know more this weekend. I'm on with Nate for pregame a couple hours before the game. So stay tuned for that. To the phone lines, 803-0550 is the phone number. A lot of Josh Allen, Sam Darnold talk again in the first segment there. I do want to talk about the defense in a second here, so let's fire him up. Let's go to Jonathan and Alden. Jonathan, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, Joe. First of all, my thoughts and prayers to Steve Barnes. I'm in Corfu right now, just outside the accident. But anyhow, I want to talk about Sam Darnold. You mentioned earlier that he could be a good backup for the Bills, but I don't see that happening. If I'm Sam Darnold, I want to see if I'm Sam Darnold, I want to do what Ryan Tannehill did. So we'll try and get away from Adam Gase and try to see yourself on a competent franchise. I still like Sam Darnold, and I still see a lot of potential with him. So if I'm Sam Darnold, I want to go somewhere I can revive my career. I'm not sure if being a backup to Josh Allen would do that.
No, yeah. Thanks for the call, Jonathan. I'm glad you brought it up again, because if I came off at the end of that last segment as, oh, I want the Bills to go sign Sam Darnold as their backup quarterback, I don't really actually think that's a realistic idea. Like, I was definitely joking when I said that. Mostly because, like what you just said, Darnold would have no reason to want to come here. Josh Allen is entrenched as this team's franchise quarterback right now. And unless his play derails through the rest of the season, which why would anybody think that's going to happen, seeing what he's looked like so far, then there's no reason for him to come here. He needs to go to a spot like the Raiders. Really? I mean, isn't that what Marcus Mariota's thought process would have been? Mariota has been on IR this season, and he has not really even gotten a chance to be in the conversation there. But that's where you go. Tannehill picked the Titans, which, funny enough, was Marcus Mariota. Tannehill picked a spot where, like, all right, what starting quarterback in the league is on the verge of being benched? Like, who's got the shortest rope? Because I want to be the guy they turn to when that happens. And he picked Tennessee, smartly. Because after, what was it, four games? It was after that Bills game, I think. Or maybe there's one more after that. Mariota gets benched. And it worked out for Ryan Tannehill. And Mariota now, in turn, tried to do the same thing. Because he's going to the Raiders thinking, yeah, there have been some draft rumors, right? About the Raiders picking a QB in the past couple of years. How much longer are they going with Derek Carr? Because if Derek Carr has three or four bad games in a row, that's definitely a team that could make a change, right? So that's where Mariota went. And maybe that same version of the Raiders will exist next year. If Derek Carr's still their quarterback and I'm Sam Darnold, I'm going to the Raiders. Because I'm good enough, I would think, that, hey, if John Gruden gets frustrated with his quarterback, I'm a guy he could turn to. Where else could he go? I mean, he could go somewhere to try to be a bridge quarterback. If Jacksonville picks a guy and Minshew's no longer there, I don't know why he wouldn't. Or if the Colts end up drafting a guy and they need someone to start the season for them. Or who else could draft a quarterback? The Panthers already got Bridgewater. Washington. If Washington drafts a guy high and Haskins is gone and Alex Smith isn't there, like, that's a spot maybe where I could start the season. Like, those are the types of situations he goes for. Who else is... Well, what's another quarterback like in a short leash? Carr was the first name I thought of. Trubisky already got benched. Now, Foles didn't choose to go there, but if he had, that would have been savvy. Now, the Giants. What are the Giants doing with Daniel Jones? Nah, that's probably too early for that. I don't know. I'm sure there's others. Let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
Hey, Joe, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of you and Nate at the Nightcap. So
thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate it. No, I just had a really – I was thinking about this back in July, and my thought is I was never worried about the Bills' offense or defense going into the season. My biggest fear with Buffalo is getting a team that has – I mean, we've been okay for the last 2 years, but
yep.
How do you get a team – used to playing with the lead without playing with the lead, if that makes sense. Like, we've seen since week one, you know, we've come out like monsters in the first quarter, second quarter, and it's like at halftime they switch jerseys with people and they're like, yo, hey, can you come play with us for like a quarter or so, and then we'll step in the fourth quarter. Like, my biggest fear coming into this season was trying to get used to these guys getting, now we have veterans, but trying to get these guys used to playing with the lead. And I was just curious about your thoughts with that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Greg. I think it seems like they have the experience for it. Like, last year, that Bills defense should have given them an opportunity. I know there were some comeback victories, but I think they've been exposed enough. This year, it's not gone well. So I would hope that they would know, hey, we can't let our foot off the gas in the third quarter. Because that's happened 3 games in a row now. And that becomes problematic. I said after those Jets and Dolphins games, like, you got lucky that these were your opponents. Because if you were playing a really good team, you're losing those football games. Like, they let the Jets hang around. They let the Dolphins hang around. And they let the Rams hang around into the third quarter. They didn't even let them hang around. They let them get back in it. And they're lucky they were up by a bigger margin. 28-3 against the Rams. I don't think that lead ever existed. It wasn't that big against the Jets or Dolphins. So they're lucky they built that big a lead. Because if they had only been up 21-3, like I think they were against the Jets, the Rams win that football game. So that is a little bit worrisome. The other thing, it's not just about the offense, though, letting off the gas. Because the offense is going to have bad quarters. It's going to happen. They're not just going to play 4 great quarters every single game all year. It's not. It's not going to be that way. The defense needs to not let teams back in games. They let the Dolphins back in. How does Ryan Fitzpatrick score 28 points on that defense? Aren't we supposed to be an elite unit? How does an elite defense let the Rams back in after their offense gave them a 28-3 lead? That shouldn't happen. This week is a week to dominate for them. The Raiders are depleted at wide receiver. They are down Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards, two very good rookie receivers, and they are left with Hunter Renfrow, who's a decent slot receiver. Don't get me wrong, he's good. And then it's Nelson Aguilar, who is a first-round bust in Philadelphia, and Zay Jones, who we all know well. Shouldn't even really be on the field, in my opinion. They got Darren Waller. Darren Waller's really good. But if you're only throwing one great tight end at me, and Derek Carr is your quarterback, if this Bills defense really is still an elite unit, they should dominate the Raiders on Sunday. Shouldn't they? Because how else am I supposed to think you're going to keep Patrick Mahomes under 30? How am I supposed to think you're going to keep, you know, Deshaun Watson under 30? Or Lamar Jackson, when you have to play these other great quarterbacks in the AFC, if you can't hold Derek Carr? So, I think this is a big game for the Bills defense. And that's not something I thought we'd be talking about this season. I thought we'd be just focusing on Josh Allen's development and how big a step is he taking. But, I mean, that's pretty clear right now. He's taking the biggest step you could imagine. And it's the defense that has made a couple of these games close. Two games in a row, they won by 3 points when the offense was electric for almost the entirety of the game. So, yes, I'm not completely leaving the offense off the hook because they've been had some bad third quarters. But the offense has had two great games in a row, and they've only won by a margin of 6 points. I think this should tell you more about the defense than it does the offense. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I want to pick up on your point about that. You know, we played some, they were both 2-0 teams last week, and their line was huge. And, you know, they actually did kind of wear down the Bills' defense. And you know what? I mean, you got to give credit to Allen and to the offensive coordinator to go out and actually win that game. You know, this is the way the NFL happens. I mean, one team gets a big lead. It's just like in hockey. When it's, you know, 3-0, next thing you know, it's, you know, 3-3 by the second period. I mean, it happens. I mean, they're both professional teams. They're both really good. I mean, you know, I mean, L.A., we could have went in there and got our asses kicked. Sorry about the A.
You're good.
But you know what I'm saying is, I mean, they were 2-0. They were 2-0 for a reason. I mean, you know, and Allen, listen, I always have faith in that guy. I'll tell you what, he's a baller, and that might be one of his problems is because he is such a competitor that he wants to go out there and do whatever he has to do to win. And sometimes he deviates from the system where, you know, he shouldn't do what he's doing, but he wins. So, yeah. I mean, that's all I really got to say about that. And you know what? And I actually, one more point, Dable, he's opened up the playbook, I mean, a little bit. I mean,
oh yeah,
you never saw screens. You never saw stuff like that. I mean, you know, his rookie year, sure, he was his pure talent. The second year, they let him go a little bit more. This year, he's got better people around him, and he's actually utilizing all the talents around him.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Tom. I would rather have it the way it's going. Like, if one unit is struggling, have the defense be struggling. You can win games with a defense struggling. But your offense is struggling, and it's tough. It makes it a lot tougher. So, I don't really have anything negative to say about your comments there. I think we're pretty much on board here. Josh Allen's a baller. He is, flat out. And all he needed to do was hit passes accurately. And I think everyone knew that it was in there. Not everybody. A lot of people knew it was in there with him. Now, some might have thought it was more likely than others. But it was in there. Because that guy's got everything you need if the accuracy came along. Everything else was there. And that Rams team was good. Yes. And that was the game. I mean, there was this third game in a row, really. But he did do it against the opponent we were waiting for him to do it against. We were waiting for him to bail the defense out in a game against a great opponent. And I would consider the Rams that, a great opponent. And he did it. So, nothing negative. Nothing wrong with what's going on offense. It's the defense that I just made the point about how, like, let's see it this week against the Raiders. You should come out and dominate. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase. Last call after this on WGR. All right, last call on the Nightcap. I only got a matter of moments here, and I am actually going to take Joe DiBiase here, by the way, if I didn't say that. Little preview of what we've got to come on the weekend. Sports Talk Saturday tomorrow from 11 to 2. And we have got Bills coverage on Sunday, beginning at, I believe, 11 a.m. With my brother, Lou DiBiase, breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style. Is it still breakfast at 11? Brunch? Brunch with the Bills? That's really what it should be. I hope I remember to pass that along to him. I'm going to text him, like, right now. I'm going to open my phone. I am typing in Tony, because actually, that's what I call my brother. His middle name is Anthony, and he's annoyed. I call him Tony. So, actually, should I do this? This is kind of evil. Is this evil? That's brotherly love. Who cares? If you would like to mess with my brother, when you call in to ask him your fantasy questions on Sunday, say, hey, what's up, Tony? And I'm texting him brunch with the Bills, because it's got to be brunch, I think. All right. Yes, 11 o'clock. Lou's actually on before that, 10 a.m. 11 o'clock will be Bills game day with Jeremy White from 11 to 1. Me and Nate Geary will take over at 1 o'clock. So we'll have 1 o'clock football on while me and Nate are on 1 to 4:25. Will be me and Nate. We'll take you all the way up to kickoff between the Bills and the Raiders with kickoff at 4:25. Post-game show thereafter, and then the overtime show with Nate will go until 11 o'clock, so into Sunday Night Football. Candy corn was what I was going to spend this last minute on real quick. Candy corn. It is hated by many. It is loved by some. And I'm the one, I'm stepping out of the weeds. I love candy corn. I'm defending it. I have got a big bag right over here, which I'm going to go grab real quick. I've got a monster bag of candy corn, and y'all can't stop me from enjoying it. So the haters on Twitter right now and on social media, I'm just going to enjoy my candy corn, and I'm going to get ready for Bills and Raiders on Sunday. So, all right, thanks everybody for listening, and I know it's not a, you know, it's not, I understand if you don't like it. It's fine. Don't hate on me for liking it. That's the final thing I'll say on it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's been a fun week. Glad to be back on the Nightcap. I know I've been saying that, but I really am. It's good to be back. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in, both on Twitter and on the phone lines. And be sure to tune in for us on Sunday, as we're getting you ready for Bills and Raiders, looking to go 4-0 for the Buffalo Bills. This has been the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.